Tactician, like the short version, is that it's a turn-based game engine that will be able to transform design documents into playable prototypes and augment testing through automated testing abilities. So this is something that is useful for game prototypers, designers, useful for studios who are starting up and need to start testing the game to see if it's actually fun and iterate on that core functionality really quickly. And then towards the end of the cycle, trying to augment again testing abilities. When you have like a deterministic game with like the where the states can branch into infinity, having an ability to separate like the logic, and to basically run the simulations and cycles of that really quickly is a huge advantage. And so the way that but getting back to the point about the pivot, the core definition of Tactician is that it's an SDK, effectively, that manages data and logic, and with an AI portion that could transform again your language into the data that Tactician uses. But if I can really, I know you know what the MVC pattern is, Jado, but like if I can toss to your listeners for a second, like
Yeah, please.
so model view controller, in game terms is like data, logic, and presentation, right? What you see in the game, how you control it, how it works, and just the data itself. Like if you think of a clock, like the time itself is data, it's the value. The process, the logic is like, does it go up? Does it go down? Does it stop at some point? It's a, and then the presentation. Is it an analog clock? Digital? Is it 3D? I don't know. It doesn't matter because the logic does the same thing and the data doesn't care. So Tactician from the beginning was built to be agnostic about presentation so that it is flexible. It can be plugged into any situation and it'd be a text-based ASCII RPG, or next generation XR, tactical adventure game. So that's the one thing that's remained true, and also makes it because it makes it a little hard to sell. Because most people are like, I don't understand. I'm like, okay. So now that's why my first pivot actually has been wanting to make this into an engine by having a visual editor, maybe with Monogame, with Godot, with Unity. I don't know yet. And basically ship that as like a contained package. So if you want to make games with this prototypes, you can. And maybe that leads to an RPG maker, sort of approach where I'm selling this is a consumer product that people use to make games that delight them, that share with their friends, sort of thing. Or it becomes more of an industrial hardcore like tool for teams making strategy games to accelerate quickly. And whether or not that's going to succeed, I don't know. Because game developers are very conservative when it comes to technology. They really, really don't like to take something off the shelf. They'd really like to write it themselves. And I think that in many cases, that can be valuable, but for games that need to games are so logic heavy, strategy games and turn-based games, any small change in the design can have these huge cascading effects that can just wreck your development schedule. And so I'm hoping that people can understand the value here. And the last potential pivot. Oh, sorry. Well, sorry, Shada. The last potential pivot. Again, this is like we're talking like hypothetical metaverse future here, so
I
we don't
like
know
it.
yet. But also I've talked to last year I talked to I think five different companies that are making their own game engine. That's not to include like ones that already exist, like Roblox or Fortnite. So but there's also a third possible and viable path to basically selling this as two platforms as a way for them to easily give their customers the ability to make turn-based games in a way that's reliable, strong, and extends like their value to the customers. So that's kind of where I'm at. As you can tell, it's a very floaty space right now, but the core thing I'm happy to say has remained consistent and solid. And that's the part I'm really focused on executing on right now.
That's fantastic. So I don't know a lot about this space. I know two words, and you tell me if these relate. Unity and Unreal. How does what you're doing interact with those gamey things that I couldn't articulate?
Oh boy. So Unity and Unreal are game engines. And what that means is that just with that application, you can write code, add assets, and produce an application that can be sold or downloaded, right? And in Unity, which is designed to make games, doesn't have a lot of pre-built functionality inside of it. And so you do a lot of coding in C#. And so if you were to make a turn-based game in Unity, you'd probably spend a lot of time setting up logic that might end up looking like Tactician does, only less flexible. So the way that to accommodate Unity users, Tactician is built to the .NET 2.1 standard in C#, so that it can be pulled in as a DLL or pulled in source code if you pay the extra license fee. That works. For Unreal, which is C++ based, an engine designed to make online multiplayer action adventure games, typically with big streaming worlds, like it is very tailored to a specific type of thing. There is actually a bridge to C# DLLs into Unreal. And so then if somebody were to choose to make an Unreal game with Tactician, they could. The reason they might want to is that, not to get too deep in the baseball weeds, mixed metaphor, love that. But the licensing issues around Unity Unreal, very hot topic right now. I know a lot of publishers are not touching Unity with a 10-foot pole. And in addition, Unreal's rendering capabilities are literally like, that's what they use in movies now. So, I don't know if a turn-based game needs that, or should have that, in some regards, but, there are a lot of questions, outside and beyond just the gameplay itself around those engine choices.
Okay, so I can ask a better question now. What are people using today? So in a world where your product doesn't exist, what are these folks doing now? They're just doing it all in Unity because they have to? Are they using other things? Are they like mocking it up on paper? Or how do they solve this problem now?
Yeah, so there are two kind of problems to solve. Three actually. One is the prototyping stage. Like, how do you know what you're making is going to be fun? Because it's really expensive to have programmers, write a bunch of code, and then you go, oh yeah, that's an easily missed problem. We could have avoided 2 weeks of pain.
Tell me about it.
So paper prototyping is often, especially for deterministic games. And by that, I mean the opposite being like, Fortnite, which is, a full simulation. A turn-based game like chess, a deterministic game, you can easily, make some pieces of paper and slide things around and write some rules and just play it. Right. And see and try and figure out that sort of stuff. Now, that doesn't give you, of course, the grasp of the full game experience, with the sight, sound, etc. But a veteran game designer can really kind of see, OK, yeah, there's something there, or no, this is a rotten foundation that we need to actually sweep this away and try again. So after that step, the programmers get involved. So that prototyping step typically resolves into a design document that is, I've written them. They're no fun. They're very, very long and exhausting to read. Then a programmer has to then take that design document and then translate it into or transform it into a technical design document and then code architecture. And then you get to program and then you get to go through all that stuff, right? Meanwhile, the designer's like, when's it done? and then at the same time, like the artist is trying to come up with the view, the visuals and the aesthetic, et cetera. All right. And then at the tail end of the project, when you're trying to do testing, that is a whole different suite of tools. And typically a lot of people are involved at sadly low hourly rates. QA is very unappreciated, Shado, in the game industry. I don't think people understand like that. They are the bulwark, right? They hold the line. Yeah. But most companies don't invest in testing tools because they're like, we'll just fix the bugs. And then we'll ship and then we'll just keep fixing bugs and patching. And so
if it's digital. Yeah,
it is. But you're sort of admitting that you have a margin of cost you're taking a hit on. And so as margins go down, like the people need to bring costs down to sort of stay solvent. And so that's why I'm hoping that, Tactician can address that. But did that answer your question?
Yeah. I think so. So folks are doing it with paper. And that allows like some subset of users to play the game and experience it. If they want to get more folks to experience it digitally, maybe globally. It's a more of a difficult problem to solve, and that's where you have to get coders involved and do the whole dance, which ideally you want to avoid until you know the game's fun.
Yeah, I mean, as long as possible, right? Or you want to have tools that let you pivot quickly. So one thing that's interesting that happens, Chato, I think, I don't know if this happens so much in enterprise software, but most games end up completely unlike the games they started out as. Because at a certain point, and movies are probably the same way, I'm sure albums might have something similar to where you have the seed of an idea and you bunch a bunch of talented people together. And the first time that vision is made manifest, it changes. And then it starts becoming an actor in the creative co-play. It's like, no, I want to be this instead. And so then you start to see this beautiful growth of like in change. So it becomes more organic in nature and more creative, which is difficult to plan, almost impossible to plan for, actually. And so having tools that allow flexibility is of key importance. And you know, programming practices and other sort of things that enable that are also always a hot topic.
Cool. All right. Well, last question before I run. So what's next for you? So you're building this product, you're considering pivoting, you know, what are you waiting for to try and go for it?
No, I am definitely going for it. I am forsaking a lot of work to get this done. So I think that what I'm trying to get to is a point where actually just this week, I've gone through the process, the painful process of writing a detailed technical design document of a game like XCOM, which is a, you know, turn-based soldiers, aliens game. And I'm like, okay, I'm basically writing the design document for a game that exists. I'm going to make this in Tactician. And that's like basically a test for completion for this version of the engine. Like, can I do this? How would I do this? And that forces changes to architecture and this and that. Once you get to that point, it's, you know, it's going to be in a solid space. And then it's about kind of looking up and saying, okay, asking people to try it. Am I right? Am I wrong? How am I wrong?
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing. So it's definitely full steam ahead. And I think the thing, honestly, Chato, that I need the most, right, is time.
Always,
right? But also, like, I want to get to a point where I could bring somebody else on and I can give them tasks. For example, with AI task, that was a compartmentalized thing. I was able to, you know, hand that off. But like much of the stuff is so tight right now that it's hard for me to figure out how to separate that. So that's sort of the struggle right now. Is like, how do I get to a point where I can actually scale without like compromising like the integrity of the architecture I've built? And when do we get that point? That's the burning question right now.
Yeah, it's always the question, man. Good to chat. If folks want to follow along, see what you're up to, where can they do so?
Tac.dev, TAC.DEV is the website. And you can find me on LinkedIn at Ted Brown XR if you have any questions.
Cool, man.
All right.
If you're listening, raising pre-seed or seed capital and think you have the perfect pitch, hit me up at rocktown.vc and know that our convo is only on the podcast if you want it to be. Take 90 seconds, send me your elevator pitch, and anything could happen. Later. Peace.